Emily made an addendum to the comparison that I think is spot on about Mason being AD. AD won a championship for the Lakers. Mason and Ireland won show of the year at the Mandy's.
Yeah, no, they have chips.
Yeah, they got a chip.
Yeah.
AD's got a chip. Mm-hmm. But there's the other comparison that I feel is just as accurate.
Mason walked over here. I never seen him throw both hands up as if he was at a bar and he was saying, "Did you say something about me?" You know, like kind of like across the bar.
No, AD is a top 75 something? Player in the NBA history.
That's right.
Top 75.
Which is ludicrous, by the way.
That's great things to think about Steve Mason.
Undeserved.
No, agreed with you on that, Taylor. Mace is a definitely top 75 talk show host of all time. I'll give him that. Right behind Jim Healy here in town. Great. That's the guy that made me want to do talk radio. You guys will know.
No, I don't know.
There's a group of people out here. You got to be a little bit older. It was on, I want to say, KABC. Okay. And KABC was not a sports talk radio show. Jim Healy was this guy. It was just this series of sound clips that he would play that were ridiculous, and he would react to them. It's 30 minutes long. That was it. One day, 30 minutes. It was awesome. And he'd just make drop, 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 respond to it, drop, drop. Awesome.
Thought you were going to say Hacksaw or one of these.
I listened to Hacksaw.
Oh, back in the day.
Hacksaw was your guy. Hacksaw was the guy that got you into it.
Not talk show. Chick was the anybody. There's an actual speaker, and I'm hearing from somebody through a speaker. It was Chick.
Yeah, but you don't do play-by-play.
Back in the day. But Chick was also post-game. Remember, Chick was doing...
KMPC.
Chick was doing stuff more than just play-by-play. Chick was...
Bowling for dollars.
That's right.
Yeah. What else did he do?
Chick did post-game show, too. There was a time...
Oh, so that was the aspiration, was the post-game show?
No, post-game show was... aspiration was just talking Lakers basketball. Just literally talking Lakers basketball. But Chick Hearn was the voice of the Los Angeles,
sure.
So everything was kind of revolved around him.
I thought you meant like he was doing a talk show and something like that. How did I not know about that?
No.
That's because I would have liked to have seen that. That would have been great.
Those shows back in the day, was it 690 days? Remember it was like Cantera? Coach John Cantera, some of those guys. So, anyways, back in the day.
It was 710 KMPC was where Jim Healy was.
That was awesome. Just amazing show. Steve in La Habra. Steve, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up, Steve?
Hey, you guys. You know what? I kind of got to call you guys out. Of course you tip the chambermaid. You tip her no matter if it's a no-tell motel or the fancy hotel in Vegas. $10 a night. Even if you don't have them come into your room, like Amanda mentioned, okay, then you just give them a $20 flat fee. But you have to realize, they're scrubbing the toilet after you leave. They're scrubbing the shower and picking up your wet towels off the ground.
Not wrong.
Actually making the bed.
Not wrong.
We leave
tips so easy for certain things, or we buy a drink that's like, well, how is that $18?
And then you pay 25. You leave like, right. Here, just take 25.
Yeah. No, you're right about that.
It's
a good point.
I had the argument with my buddies. They're all looking at me like, you are a... They used a certain word, you know, seven letters. Like, how do you not take... And they explained it just... I'm like,
disgusting.
You're right.
But I mean, do you tip
yes.
whomever cleans your toilets ever? So we tip the person who cleans the toilets here?
Well, you know, you make a good point. Mm-hmm. You're right. But it's not just my bathroom. If I were the only one using that bathroom for a week, then sure. But in a hotel, it is. It's the dirty towels. It's making the bed. It's putting... It's all of it. It's cleaning the toilet. It's the stuff that no one really wants to
give
do.
You an
and
example.
More than just the person that cleans your room will touch those towels. Then
I'm assuming it's like a restaurant where the server tips out the busboy, that it kind of trickles down.
Usually when I go get water or coffee, I do kind of wipe down. I'm a wiper, right? I wipe down. I'm just saying.
That's a drop.
If I could get 6-7 people to just chip in a buck or so, we're good.
I got a dollar for
you. Keep it over there.
Once
we get to $5, I want a $5 bill.
Should my roommates tip me for, you know, cleaning my bathroom?
No, because that's not your job. You chose to do that. If you had, say, hey, guys, in exchange for me getting $100 less a month in rent payment, I will clean the bathroom every other week. That would be the equivalent.
And then tip me on top of it.
And then they could also say, oh, by the way, only here's a bottle of wine.
I keep this side pretty clean. Whoever's after me, just keep a buck there. Give me a buck or two.
Ireland should owe you a buck. Because
Alan made $75 this week at 710.
You should take a buck for whoever comes in last, because you're always making sure that it goes from there. All right, let's talk about the Dodgers.
Yeah.
Gavin Lux is down for the season, mm-hmm. and it really sucks. I want to start right here because I think this is kind of interesting. He was very emotional talking about what had happened.
Very emotional.
Certainly mm-hmm. understandable considering what he's going through, but I want you to listen to this.
Yeah, no, me and Doc had a really good conversation, and, you know, he's been extremely supportive already, and he definitely cares, and more than probably anybody. So, you know, I'm really appreciative of what we talked about, and that's private, so it doesn't really matter. He's been really good for me in the last 24 hours, and, you know, I love him to death, so.
Okay, so clearly a very emotional Gavin Lux.
Yep.
Talking specifically about Dave Roberts. Dave Roberts on our show and across the city gets hammered for not winning the World Series more. Gets mm-hmm. hammered for some of the decisions that he makes or doesn't make, right? Mm-hmm. Just gets blown up. We've taken that call from the guy who can't manage a Dairy Queen, right? Okay, whatever.
I miss him, by the way.
he'll be back.
I miss him.
He'll be back.
Can't run a Circuit City if his life depends. Well, no, Circuit Cities are close.
So they'd be waiting a long time. You and I have had the conversation about is Dave Roberts,
yeah.
one of his superpowers is he's willing to take all of the bullets for the front office mm-hmm. because they're collaborating on these decisions, yet he's the one that's ultimately held responsible, et cetera, mm-hmm. et cetera. And I think that's part of it. I also think he's done a pretty good job, generally speaking, managing his team. What you just heard right there, I think, is the reason he's been in this job as long as he has. And there really has never been a whisper of him not being in it. Because this is a guy that was talking about his manager like he was talking about his dad.
Yep.
This is a guy that's talking about somebody that I love him. That he's helped me through some very difficult times. He said some things here that really helped me. I'm sure that not everybody feels like this, but if he's able to make connections like that with players like Gavin Lux, maybe that's Doc's greatest skill as a manager of the Dodgers are those, Emily, how'd you describe them? Soft skills?
Soft skills.
Those soft skills that allow him to connect to people to get the best out of them, as opposed to, I'm going to put this pitcher in this inning and have this batter face that pitcher.
So it's a fantastic trait. And I think there are a lot of people that can't connect. There are a lot of bosses that cannot connect with their employees like that. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm sure there's a lot of those Dodger individual players that got Dave Roberts back like no tomorrow. The problem is that job as the manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, it also comes with very important expectations. Mm-hmm. And it's not like the Dodgers are a team like the Rockies or the D-backs or anything like that where the expectations aren't high every single year. So you can take that trait that he has and that relationship and that connection that he has with Gavin Lux, and Gavin Lux almost kind of holding back tears a part of his conversation. You could take that and say, man, what an unbelievable skill set that Dave Roberts has that connection with the players. The other side of it is, Dave, there's certain situations or predicaments that you can't really put a finger on, but come postseason, why doesn't this team play like they do in the regular season? That's also on Dave Roberts, right? So you're not wrong with everything that you said, and you're probably right. That's maybe a real reason why Dave Roberts has been around as long as he has and he's been so successful as a manager. But he's on a franchise where they're really, you cannot have an excuse. There aren't any excuses for the Dodgers, and they've been so good that you might take one positive, but I could also look at this and say, well, how about these situations? All of that kind of has to be applied together.
You know me, I like to be an optimist, right? That's just my default setting is very optimistic about everything that's coming on. The pessimistic side of what you just heard from Gavin Lux, it's not that Dave Roberts is obviously a compassionate human being.
Yep.
He's able to connect emotionally with guys. Is there not an argument to be made that the guy that's sitting in that chair needs to be a cold-blooded you-know-what and just that, dude, I may like you, but I don't give a damn. You're sitting down.
I think they already have that, though.
You're not getting the hit when I need you to get a hit. You haven't pitched well in 2 weeks. I got to sit you down, man. I love you, and I want you to live a long, healthy life, but you're killing me right now. Sit down. Like that. There are guys, not everybody loved their manager, and mm-hmm. guys have won some World Series. Some of these guys are very popular, but some of these guys are real sons of bitches that are difficult to deal with, that are not well-liked, but get results out of their team. I don't think anybody's running through brick walls for Buck Showalter when it comes to loving him as a guy, but everybody kind of understands he's got his finger on the pulse of the team.
I think the question you're asking then is, all right, well, what's that balance then?
Because
if that's not Dave Roberts' strength, then you just have to know. Dave Roberts got to play to his strengths.
Yeah.
That's obviously one of his strengths. If you're going to ask Dave Roberts to be something that he's not, I don't know if that's going to, you know, rub off well. And I know that's not what you're pointing at, yeah, but I'm saying that there's certain managers that have a certain style that suits them. And there's a use an NBA example. Phil Jackson was one of the first coaches that just sat there when it was a 15-0 run from another team.
Right.
He's like, why am I going to call timeout? You guys figure it out. That's Phil Jackson style. There's other coaches that it's a 6-0 run. Timeout.
Yeah.
Clipboard. Here's what you got to do, all this. Yeah. Styles, I guess, make fights. Dave Roberts has his own style.
I think that we've seen, through, especially through this offseason, what they did to Justin Turner and what they did to Cody Bellinger. These are two people that have been there for a long time, that were staples of the Dodger team, that they cut, that they could have kept if they were being, you know, the soft skill part of Dave Roberts. So I think that they have the good cop of Dave Roberts, and they have the quote-unquote the bad cop of Friedman in the front office that can be cold-blooded, that can make decisions on people quickly and swiftly in a way that you need a Dave Roberts so that someone wants to play for your team.
You need somebody that you can open up to because you know the other guy doesn't give a damn.
Exactly.
Yeah. I
need a mom and a dad.
I need to tell you how I feel because I know they don't care how I feel. Mm-hmm. And if you actually connect with me on that, I don't know. It just I was really struck by Lux's response
emotion
to the problem.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't just, hey, look, it sucks. I wanted to be the shortstop for the Dodgers, and I'm hurt, and it's not going to happen. It was Dave is, you know, this happened 24 hours ago. He's already helping me through this, and that's one of the people that he went out of his way to mention, I think, speaks volumes about Dave.
Dave, he spoke too, and one thing that actually stuck out. Now that you're bringing this up, one of the things that he said too was that I'm letting Gavin handle it emotionally how he does. Let him do his thing. I want him to, however he feels, let that be the emotion that comes out. You could tell he's just, this is Dave Roberts. This is his strong suit is situations like this.
Okay, so who actually, now that we're done feeling sorry for Gavin Lux,
who plays short?
Who plays shortstop? It's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Dodgers ahead 1-0 in their spring training game. Mookie just hit one about 900 feet.
That's pretty good.
Top of the first inning. He's a pretty good player. So Mookie's interesting.
Okay.
Because Mookie, when he was with the Red Sox and he won the MVP, I was looking at like, yeah, I know he's really, really good, but I think they might be overhyping this guy a little bit. Mm-hmm. Because I wasn't watching the Red Sox play 150 games.
Sure.
I'd see him play 20 games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he was good. He came to the Dodgers in that first year, and it's like, oh, yeah, okay, I get it now. I get what this guy does every single night, that he is the ultimate little spark plug, mm-hmm, that when he's going, the whole team seems to get going. If they can get – and last year he was good, not great. Mm-hmm. The year before that, the COVID season, he was out of his mind. Mm-hmm. He was so good. If we can get MVP-level Mookie again, I think it lets all of these other things, like who's going to play short and who plays center field,
figure itself out.
It really takes a lot of pressure off of some of these other guys if he can get back to that MVP-level talent that he is.
I know you want to talk shortstops. Can I ask you a quick question? Because we got May on the mound right
now.
Code Red, no doubt about it.
I like Gingergard better.
You like Gingergard's good. But would he be Gingergard if Syndergaard weren't on the team?
Yes, he's been called out way before that. Okay, also, I also thought, hey, guys watched the movie Brave? A Pixar movie?
You know what?
I'll watch it tonight.
I haven't seen that one.
When I first saw
She's an archer, right?
Yeah, but she has like really thick, curly red hair, and I also like call it Destiny Merida before I knew him.
I like Code Red.
Okay, here's my question for you. The Dustin May, so last year comes back, how long was he out for with his injury? A year?
Basically
a year. And he had one start. Remember, he had a really good start right out the gate. And
against like the Rocks.
Something like that. But he had a really good start. And then there was, oh, watch out. Look what he's going to do. He's got some of the dirtiest stuff in Major League Baseball.
Maybe the dirtiest.
Which I don't argue that he does. This year coming in, I'm curious as somebody. Take your Dodger hat off for a quick second. What are proper expectations for May? What are fair, right expectations that, and maybe you don't know until you see a month of baseball.
No, it's a good question. I think if he performs at the level that I expect him to perform, he's an all-star caliber pitcher.
Okay.
I think that's what he is for the reason that you said. I don't know if there's somebody with better stuff in baseball than him, mm-hmm. right? And there's Justin Verlander, and there's Scherzer, and there's Kershaw. There's guys with great
Sometimes
stuff.
Sometimes stuff's so crazy where it's control.
Slee, I always go back to this, that there was, when he first came up, he was pitching to Manny Machado, who's one of the best players in the whole league. He threw a pitch, like kind of a cutter, that ran in on the right hand of Machado, that Machado swung and missed at. It nearly hit Machado in the stomach.
Jeez.
Okay, that's how ball, and Machado turns around, he's like,
what do you want me to do?
He literally turned, I think it was the guy on deck, and said, what the was that? Like, I'd never seen that before. Mm-hmm. It's Manny Machado, okay? This is a guy that's seen nothing but great stuff for a long time. He needs to learn how to pitch. Mm-hmm. He's still a young pitcher. He's still figuring it out. He's figuring out that maybe that pitch I'm talking about to Machado, I don't have to throw that. I need to throw that pitch 3 times a game. I don't have to throw it 40 times a game. I need to save it for when I need to deploy it. I don't need to throw 99 on every pitch. That's sitting 94 occasionally is pretty good.
Needs to learn how to pitch. That's a perfect way to put it.
In, out, up, down, slow, fast. Mm-hmm. Pitch, not just have electric stuff. He seems to be getting closer. He seems to be getting better at it. But if they're going to go where they need to go, he needs to be.
Yeah, because the reason why I mention it is we talked a little bit about their rotation. And you were telling me, listen, on paper, the rotation is amazing. Tony Gonsolin, Julio, Clayton Kershaw, and then Dustin May. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Syndergaard as well. But the reason why I have curiosity about him, because how many – Clayton Kershaw, would you be surprised or shocked Clayton Kershaw misses some time this year? I don't think that's
– I will go – ready? He's going to miss time in May.
Yep.
And he's going to miss time in August.
Okay.
Book it.
Sounds good. And that's probably just comes with age, and they're also trying to get him ready for Julio. I don't think there's any questions about. I think Gonsolin, actually, I don't really have that many questions about. I think Tony Gonsolin's going
to
be.
I need to see it again.
You have some more questions?
I need to see it again.
So you say you need to see it again. Dustin May needs to learn how to pitch. Clayton Kershaw's going to miss some time. And then you have Noah Syndergaard, who you're hoping comes in and becomes a Dodger. Maybe that Dodger way. I think it's fair to say, look, there are some questions with the rotation. I don't think it's perfect.
Yeah, but nobody's is. You're right. Mm-hmm. But this thing that they had for the last 3 or 4 years, where you got 8 All-Stars in your starting lineup, you got 4 Cy Young Award winners on your pitch.
Who was the dude yesterday called in? It was Bueller, Julio, Kershaw, and Scherzer.
And Bauer. You know, okay. And Bauer.
Yeah, that's not normal.
Yeah, this is not how it's supposed to be. That was a one-off, and this is what more like it is. If this guy lives up to this, then we're going to be pretty good. If he doesn't, we may have to go in a different direction, which brings us back to Lux. This is kind of the exact same thing you were saying. Lux going down, the Dodgers went from having more depth and more optionality at more positions. Muncy could play basically all 4 infield spots if he had to, right? Mookie can play all 3 outfield spots and second base. You've got a guy like Justin Turner who could be a third baseman, a first baseman, a designated hitter. You've got Chris Taylor who could probably play 7 positions on the field. You've got Cody Bellinger who could play center field and first base. You've got all of these options, right? Austin Barnes can catch and play the infield. But he can. He has. Seager leaves.
Yep.
Turner leaves. Lux gets hurt. Now, all of a sudden, you're having to put guys in one spot, and your optionality is incredibly limited. Now, if you elevate Miguel Rojas to your starting shortstop position, which seems like probably the first stop in all of this, like, let's try this first. Okay, now, who's your your infielder right now? Okay, it's Chris Taylor. Okay, well, if he plays the infield, who's
going
playing
out?
Left field?
Yep.
Well, okay, we'll put Mookie in. Okay, now you're... They're really thin all of a sudden. And what that's why I think with the Lux thing, they got to go get somebody. I'm not saying it has to happen today or by the end of spring training or even the first month or two of the season. They need to add a guy.
Yeah.
They need to put somebody in there. I don't know if it's an offensive type of player or if it's just strictly a defensive type of shortstop. But they're basically operating on 0 depth before the season has even started. They need to add a guy. Maybe it's Andrelton Simmons. I've heard Profar's name, former Padre.
Yeah.
They're going to need to add some people because if you just start shuffling the deck, you're
running
out of
cards. Before the
season
even starts. And that's so different from what the Dodgers are accustomed to, where, like you mentioned, it's usually they got more than they know what to do with. hey, how are you going to find this guy, PT? How are you going to get this guy at bats? Right. How are you going to? That's not the case. And Lux was already, before the Lux injury, it was already a lot of question marks of, can Lux play short? Right? Like that was already a legit question. How are you going to use him? But it's his bat that you were looking most forward to having a part of the mix.
We'll find a place to put him. He hit his way into the order.
Okay. Now Lux comes out. This was before Lux, right? Before the Lux injury, you were already like, hey, we're pretty thin in a lot of these spots here. Now Lux with the injury. I don't know if it happens. I wouldn't be surprised they start the season like this. I wouldn't be surprised. Maybe even a couple months goes by. But definitely before that trade deadline, you got to imagine that the Dodgers will address it. They know it. I mean, if you and I are talking about it, when were the Dodgers talking about it? That front office doesn't need any help on how to run a baseball team.
Jack Harris, I think, wrote this in the Times this morning. It was a good description that the Dodgers are like a Jenga tower right now. It's fine, but you've taken a couple pieces out, and if you take one or
that's
two more,
example.
It's going to tip over. And that's Jason Hayward going yard. This is look, Dodgers are going to the World Series.
That's
Betts
it.
Is going yard.
Oh,
Jason Hayward is going yard.
But if they lose tomorrow in spring training, you want Dave out.
Go send him back to Dairy Queen or whatever the restaurant du jour is. They got to add a guy.
Yeah,
Miguel Rojas can't play shortstop every day. You can't have a really. He doesn't have to hit 270. I think with the shift and everything else, the days of having a guy that's batting 210 in your lineup, 220, you can't have a couple of those guys.
Can they do to him what – I know this is not a perfect example, but Bellinger got – basically played center field for X amount of years because of his defense. Mm-hmm. And you were hoping at some point he's going to give you some offense. And it was clear. It just wasn't going to happen.
Not here.
Rojas, can you have him – as your shortstop because of what he does defensively, or you lost too many pieces that bad, it just becomes too important?
If Max Muncy returns to form.
Okay.
If Chris Taylor returns to form.
Sure.
Yes.
Couple big ifs, yeah.
If either of those two guys continue to look like they looked last year, then now you got two guys that are really struggling, makes it a lot harder. Mookie's going to do what he does, and Freddie's going to do what he does. Like the star guys will be the star guys. I really do think that offensively, this team will go as Muncy and Taylor go. Those guys have – Muncy's a good – I'm going to go back to Anthony Davis for a second.
Mm-hmm.
I get frustrated with him, and I'm not optimistic about what Anthony Davis is going to do because for 2 years I've just seen him miss games over and over again. So I'm going to assume he's going to miss games, right? I'm going to assume Max Muncy's going to get hits because that's all I've ever seen him do. I'm going to assume that last year was the weird one because he broke his wrist right before the end of the season. Yep. There's a very obvious – he did get a lot better towards the end of the season. I'm going to assume what I've seen most often will be what I see.
He's going to come back to form. Yep.
Yeah, and same thing with Chris Taylor. Doesn't mean it's going to happen. I mean, if one of those guys is struggling –
well, it's not a – in the past where it might have seemed like a luxury, it's now a necessity. Now they have to.
Yes.
They have to.
Yeah, it's
now
not
it's
gravy.
Different. Yeah.
It's part of the meal. By the way, this is not a huge sample size, but Andrew Heaney, big acquisition for the Rangers during the offseason. Another one that
runs.
The Dodgers, you know, turned into a valuable asset again, is getting pounded by the Dodgers right now. Again, two home runs. There's a little bloop single right there, but Outman just hit one to the wall that could have been a triple. He doesn't seem to be missing a lot of bats. Early in spring training, no big deal. Tyler Anderson, when does he
How locked are you on spring training?
Little bit.
Are you Ducks game on or a Dodger game?
Oh, Dodgers.
Spring training?
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
Yeah.
That fits.
Yeah. Now, look, if it's
like,
the
cause if
I got an answer
Lakers
for this.
Preseason game or what's the show I just started watching?
Longmire?
No, Honor.
Your Honor.
Or the Bear.
Or the
Your Honor or Lakers preseason? I'm going Lakers preseason.
Yeah,
we'll just have to wait on the Honor.
I understand. If it's the eighth inning and the guy that's pitching is number, 94.
You're still watching.
And the guy that's hitting is number 76, I will turn that off. Because both of these guys are going to be driving a truck in 6 months. Okay? they're not major league caliber guys. I like to watch major league baseball.
That's fair.
I want to watch Corey Seager and Mookie Betts today. Once they come out of the lineup, I will probably switch over to The Bear or whatever the name of your show is. that feels about right. Let's try a quick phone call here. Let's go to Downey and Jason. Downey, you're on with Trav and Slee. What's up?
Real quick, Al, a few more episodes of The Bear, and I guarantee you and Lady Slee will only answer to each other as, yes, chef.
Yes, great chef. Show. Okay. That works.
But I was telling Emily, guys, doesn't, with the AD thing constantly getting hurt, doesn't this kind of seem like Kyrie might be a Laker next year? I really like the team they built, but I'm terrified that Pelinka's going to go up. This team didn't do nothing. Let's blow it up again. We need the third star, Kyrie. Let's bring him in. And I feel like it's going to be another Russ move again, that we have some good players under a contract that they're just going to ship them off to clear cap space for them. And they need to realize that instead of them trying to get the third star, maybe they got to look at the one star that rarely plays, because I feel like they're hell-bent on keeping this LeBron AD tandem together, where I just think they got as many rings as we could out of them. So instead of, you know, trying to get that third star, maybe we do got to look at trying to get AD. I mean, we probably will. If you talk to Ireland, he'll probably say whoever lands AD is the team that wins the trade. Like you said, Trav, not really if he doesn't play. I'm down for five decent players as long as they play.
Jay,
that's my take. Have a great day.
Jay, appreciate you calling in. I don't think so. I think that if the Lakers, let's say, flamed out because Bron didn't play X amount of games and then now they're out of the playing tournament, whatever the case is, I think that's makes it more likely because you didn't get
more
a chance.
To keep the group together?
More likely to keep the group together because you never really got a chance to see the crew.
Mm.
Right? Like, I think you spent the last couple years trying the three stars.
Mm-hmm.
It's not like Kyrie is out there killing it in Dallas. And I think the optimism that was coming with the Lakers with some of the different role players, I think it makes it more likely that they try to just say, hey, let's keep these two guys, but let's actually have a rest of a team built around them.
I don't want to dumb it down too much, but what if LeBron says, I don't care what we got into the play-in. I don't care if it worked pretty well. I want Kyrie. Now we're right back to where we were a couple of years ago, which is a non-executive, a player, calling the shots, or at least having a very loud voice
influence
at the table as to what's going on. And look, I want Kyrie. James Vanderbilt or Jared Vanderbilt and Malik Beasley are fine, but I want Kyrie. Go get me Kyrie. AD, me and Kyrie and AD, we can go make – I wouldn't be surprised if they did. It just feels like – the Lakers don't strike me as a team that has learned from their mistakes. Like they keep – if left didn't work, I'm going right. If right didn't work, I'm going back left again. And they just kind of keep ping-ponging between philosophies.
What's incredibly disappointing is we're supposed to be talking about right now D'Angelo, Anthony Davis, and LeBron James, how that crew works together for the final 20 games. Instead, we're talking about all three of those guys won't be playing tonight against the Thunder.
All right, Anthony Davis is not playing tonight, like Al just said, and is that the end of the line? If he's down for tonight and anything beyond tonight, is that it? That's coming up next. It's Travis Lee, 710 ESPN. Al is going to put a pickleball paddle in his hand play with a pickleball paddle.
What did
we
say yesterday?
Yeah, you did have it. Yeah. It's not fencing. It's not a pool cue. You hit it with the big, wide, flat part just to give you a leg up on
how bad would that
impending
look?
Match.
I come out there. I'm like, so I'm holding it wrong.
Be pretty great. But you're going to get out there for our upcoming inaugural Pickleball Madness Tournament. It's coming up on the 18th. It is 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. from the Agape Pickleball Center in Fountain Valley at Miles Square Park. There is reserve seating available if you'd like. You can register at ESPNLA.com. Of course, it is open to anybody and everybody that would like to come. So come on out, hang out with us, maybe have a beer. I'll have a beer with you. You come on by and say, hey, Trav, you want to grab a beer? I'm in.
The problem with that 38 people are going to say, I'd love to have a beer with you.
We'll do them in groups of six. Then I can have six beers, and it'll be – and then two guys –
try to stand up in the middle of the game.
Oh, don't worry. I have a feeling we're going to have some free time, Slee. I have a feeling we're going to be available to mingle shortly after we start playing. We'll see. But if you come out
– I feel like the confidence level is just starting to just go.
Well,
and it's on you, and I'm like, wait a minute. I have never even played yet.
I thought I would be okay at this. Okay. Not a good tennis player. I'm just good enough to beat someone that's bad. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you stink, I will beat you. If you're average, I can hang. If you're good, you'll wipe the
court. Are you Dallas where the trade happened, the Mavs happened, and people got a little excited about now you're 1-4
you know
once you started playing?
I'm the Portland Trailblazers without Dame. I'm gonna beat the bad teams. I'm not gonna beat very many good ones. That's kind of where I am.
I love how he took Dame off the team. It's the only guy on the team without Dame.
I don't have that. I don't have any Dame abilities. But if you come on out, there will be basketball to watch. We got TVs for all the college basketball games. Pop a shot. If you want to learn how to play pickleball, there's demos, there's lessons, there's a kid zone. So bring the kiddos out. Beer garden. I'll be over there probably. Complimentary food and drinks. Live DJ and entertainment. Prizes, giveaways, 360 photo booth. and more. And One More Pickleball is changing the way that people play pickleball. Their mission is to create unique paddles that improve your game from beginners to pros alike. Their paddles are handcrafted and designed in California using the latest technology and innovative materials. They provided our custom paddles for us at ESPN 710 Pickleball Madness Tournament, which we were just talking about. And right now, they're offering 10% on your first order on their website, onemorepickleball.com. We have custom ones, Lisa.
Paddle I'm using tomorrow.
What was your? It's about comeback. What was it?
Payback's coming.
Payback's coming.
That's it was right. Early.
We still need to kind of sit down even and better. Workshop
even
that.
Even better.
It won't happen at the pickleball tournament.
No. Yeah, nah, no, I don't think he's there either.
Oh, that's right. He's not even there. So it's very unlikely that it will happen there. Unless you decide
we'll go to his house.
Take it out on some unsuspecting pickleball viewer along the way.
Hey, just so you know, I do have the code to get into his gated community.
Oh, Slee, what if we kind of sneaky.
What if we got arrested
after hours?
No, wouldn't be expecting it. Even better.
Just like you're hiding in, I've never seen John's house, but I'm assuming there's a bush somewhere near the front door.
Yep.
Yes.
And you just lurk behind the bush with a big bucket of ice water. Bam!
You know, I'm friends with his wife, Sliwa. You know, I could get his wife in on this.
Amanda,
like, we can really coordinate this well.
It's impossible that I don't brainstorm with you at some point.
Yeah, I also know his neighbors. No, I've been there for block parties, so...
This is basically like the inside source. This is everybody needs an insider.
We got an inside man. We got a double agent.
Yeah. No doubt.
We've got a double agent. AD's not going to play tonight. LeBron, obviously, is not going to play tonight. D'Angelo Russell.
Not going to play.
Is not going to play tonight. So the Lakers are shorthanded. Doesn't even begin to describe what they are. I don't no-handed, perhaps. You ready?
Sure.
I think they're going to win tonight because they have to. They really, truly have to. And maybe they just won't have enough horsepower, Slee, to get it over, you know, to get it done. But if they don't come out and give OKC the fight of their lives, I think this season is over. Because they're in a weird spot. Their best player is hurt. Their second best player is hurt. Their third best player is hurt.
Unbelievable.
If it doesn't have a kind of a playoff intensity, I'm not saying that the basketball needs to be crystal clear and perfect.
You're saying this is it.
Effort. Mm-hmm. If this isn't where every possession is guarded like the fourth quarter of a playoff game, I don't know what to tell you. If this isn't a possession where guys are diving or a game where guys are diving for loose balls and taking charges and just competing in every possible way you can, this is kind of your last stand. You need to beat these guys. You need to win these next four games that we've talked about. Mm-hmm. We're talking OKC, Minnesota, Golden State, and Memphis. Three of those are the OKC on the road today. The other three at home.
All at home. They go five games at home in a row.
You have to win at least four of those games. And OKC, as far as your opponents go, this is the weakest link in the chain. You have to. If you can't win it, it has to be a fight like crazy. Because if they come out there and just like, hey, we don't got AD, we don't got LeBron, we don't got D'Lo, and they just kind of go through it and lose by 12 points, that's a white flag.
If I give the Lakers some credit this year, there are a lot of times, like last year there'd be games where they're down 20 and then you're like, all right, they're going to lose by 30 and it's over. Mm-hmm. If I give Lakers credit in anything, they do fight every game. That I don't think I could question that. This is the way I was looking at, before we started our show this morning, my mindset was this, and I kind of looked at this three-game road trip and I said to myself, all right, if you go 2-1 on this road trip, then you get some real home cooking after that. They do. There's a lot of games they're going to have the rest of the way. They're all going to be at Crypto.
After today, they only got four road games the rest of the month.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And this is the, I want to say, probably eight, maybe nine or something like that at home. Maybe even more than that. Whatever it is, okay? So I had said that if they go 2-1 on this road trip, okay, you got the Dallas game, you lost to Memphis, no real surprise there. Here's really the kind of the question mark. Best player for the Thunder, easy. Shea. He's out tonight. That's official. He's in health and safety protocols. So it's not ideal, the situation Lakers are in. I thought, you know, that had a lot to do with when Lakers were saying yesterday, it's a must win. We have to have this game against the Thunder. I thought also Anthony Davis was going to be there. He's not going to be there. But what you just said about the desperation mode and the fact that Shea's not there, Lakers playing on a back-to-back, they're playing on a back-to-back. The Oklahoma City Thunder have kind of owned the Lakers these last couple of years. But if you lose to the Thunder tonight and you still have all the question marks that we're proposing the rest of the way, I get what you're saying. I think the only thing that gives them even a sliver of hope is a lot of these teams in the West are losing, which is keeping the Lakers in it.
But that's not the same thing as being in it, right? That's
depending
surviving
on another team.
Yeah, that's surviving, and you live to fight another day. But this is it. This is your last stand. This is it.
And can't argue that.
And Oklahoma City without Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is gettable. Even with you playing a game where you don't have your three best players, if you go out there with a ferocious competitive attitude, because I have no, if I lose tonight, guess what, they're right back to five games under 500.
Yeah.
Another, you know, here
we go. Another two weeks since the break.
Another two, and we're right where we were.
Mm-hmm.
It has to start.
Okay,
happening.
What if this happens?
There is no, well, we got, hey, if they lose in that, it feels like we're at the end of the line.
Can I go with chasing our own tail? Let's say they win tonight.
Mm-hmm.
And then let's say Anthony Davis and D'Angelo Russell are ready to go. They're good to go for Friday.
Okay.
Are we back to square one where I start looking at every score in the NBA and I start chasing my tail again?
I'm going to need to see it more than once. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. I'm going to need to see, because again, still no LeBron. LeBron's mm-hmm. down until best case scenario, mid-March.
Yep.
Probably closer to the end of March is seemingly more realistic. One good game with D'Angelo Russell and Anthony Davis is going to be, well, okay, how did the Timberwolves do tonight? How did Portland do tonight? I'm going to need to
Sad
see
part,
something.
I'll still be looking at all the,
I know you
I'll
will.
Still be looking at all the
I know that standards. You will. I understand it. I admire it, and I respect it as well. The Dump is coming up next. It's Trav and Slee, 710 ESPN.
All right, so dictionary.com added a few more, I guess, slang terms this year, and they were
That's
to their
fire.
Dictionary.
Sorry.
So I'm going to give you some slang terms, and I want you guys to guess at what the definition is.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
So this first one might be a little easier. So it's digital nomad. Who's a digital nomad?
Digital nomad.
Somebody that has a lot of different devices from different manufacturers?
Does nope. it mean you were born before a time when...
Nope.
No.
Al?
Somebody who is alone and traveling through the Ethernet.
Okay, so a digital nomad is a person who works remotely, who travels around, who doesn't live in one place, but works remotely. And so my friend who's visiting is a digital
awesome.
Nomad. So she works completely remotely, and so
Good
she
gig.
Travels around the United States.
Is it? Don't you want to have a home? Don't you want to have somewhere to go
yes,
back to?
Yes, it's hard.
You, I bet it is.
Okay, so that one is, I wouldn't want that exactly, but if you said, hey, I'm gone for a couple of weeks. I could still do my job from somewhere
That's
else for
different.
A couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And I'm working while I'm there and kind of embracing where I am, but I still go back home after.
Yeah, what if you're in a different place every 3 weeks?
That's tough.
That would be hard.
It sounds like a
so she usually
NBA
does a,
schedule.
she usually does a month. So she'll be like one place every month and another place
right
for a month.
Right when you start to know where everything is, it's all right, you're going to Topeka.
Yeah.
All right, Topeka, you're going to Baton Rouge.
You get the portion of, okay, I could be somewhere. I'm still getting my job done. I'm still getting the pay. I'm still getting all that. But I'm gone for 2 weeks. I'm kind of embracing wherever I am, and then I'm back here after that.
I understand why that's appealing to others.
Going to San Miguel.
Not so much to me. Yeah. I like to be home.
Okay, next one is nearly wed. What's a nearly wed?
Living together, longtime partner, not married legally.
Yeah, you're pretty close. So the definition is a person who lives together with a life partnership, sometimes engaged, but with no planned wedding date, sometimes with no intention of even getting married.
Influencer. It up.
Influencer. Wow. Right here.
Got that one like on the dot there.
I'm trying to think what else it could have been.
Yeah.
All right.
Go ahead.
The next one is trauma dumping. What is trauma dumping? I think Taylor is someone who hates this.
I think I probably know what the... You want to go first?
No, you're good.
So trauma dumping is when you spill all of your emotional baggage and stuff that you're dealing with
on somebody else
that isn't
within the
really,
first 5 minutes of meeting them.
There you go. Yeah. That's it.
Pretty close. So it's unsolicited, one-sided sharing of traumatic or intensely negative experiences or emotion in an inappropriate setting or with people who are unprepared for the interaction.
It was Taylor and I on Friday. We sat at the Clipper game. I'm like, Taylor, oh boy, do I got some stuff to get off my chest.
No, what it would be is you and Taylor at the Clipper game in the suite, and they're, for the purposes of this, there's a third person that you guys don't know, that you guys are like, oh my gosh, can you believe Kawhi made that shot? And the other guy looks and goes, did I ever tell you about my uncle?
And then he just keeps going.
It's like, oh gosh.
Yeah.
And then he tells you
it's
most
third quarter
horrible
now.
Story you've ever heard in your life. You're like, yeah, cool. So do you think Russ is going to make an impact on this team or not? That's trauma dumping.
Yep, that is accurate. All right, I'm trying to find another one that we got here.
You should call me for these definitions.
What's a petfluencer?
A what?
Petfluencer.
petfluencer?
Same thing as an influencer, but all social for a pet.
Yes, but it's specifically about your pet.
TikTok.
The human does not appear. It's just all
It's just the pet, yeah. Yes.
You should get Rookie into the petfluencing business.
All over it. When I get home tonight, I'm going to start working on
Lucrative, man.
All right, the rest, I think that are, you can explore this page later, but those are some of the main ones.
Good ones.
I think we got, what was the one we didn't go? Digital Nomad. I just picture somebody on
thought somebody traveled.
In the middle of the desert with like a laptop.
Taking a meeting on Catalina Island.
Wandering around like through the deserts of, North Africa with Apple iPro.
They're in Joshua Tree at like a beautiful sanctuary.
Too close. I need you in the middle of the Sahara Desert alone. Like, that's what I picture a nomad being. National Peanut Butter Lovers Day, that's you and me, Slee, right?
Yeah, is this a thing? Do a lot of people not like peanut butter?
I don't think a lot, but there are people that are take it or leave it peanut butter people, okay. And there are a very small subset of people
Does it matter for you if it's almond butter? Do you care?
Well, it's different.
Is it a big difference for
yes,
you?
Yes, it is.
All right, if it's because they
is
got...
Is there a difference between almonds and peanuts to you?
No, but what I'm saying is that if in the refrigerator... You only have almond butter. Are you the one saying, no, I'm not taking it?
Oh, no. I eat it.
Any of these butters, I'm basically
using. But if I'm going to the store and I can take my pick, I'm picking peanuts.
Yeah, I usually do peanut butter. Yeah, and that's Costco. I go through the...
Do you get that one with the oil on top from Costco? Because I hate having to mix it.
Yeah, I know.
But once it's done,
yeah,
it's the best peanut butter there is.
I know. It takes a little work.
Put it that. Okay. Do you take it all out, put it in a big bowl,
mix it all together
so it's perfect?
That's a good idea. I do
not
do that.
Back into the jar?
No.
Can I just...
Well, you know what happens, too, with the jar that I'm in. It's coming all over the place.
That's the point. You're going to make a mess anyway.
Yeah.
But if you put it in, get all the oil, mm-hmm. scoop as much of it, and whip it together with a whisk, and put it back in, it's
You said crunchy or smooth?
Yeah.
I like crunchy more, but my girl always gets smooth.
Can't have two?
I don't know. You get two big things at Costco, it's like, all right, I'm already in. I'm like the least complainer when it comes to that stuff. She's a little more picky.
Happy birthday to Justin Bieber, who turns 29 years old today.
Bieber's going to be 29.
Let me ask you this. Emily, you may or may not know this. I don't know. Are you a Justin Bieber fan?
Nope.
Yes.
Okay. Not a surprise to hear you say no. Is he still super relevant?
So, yes, his wife is very relevant right now. Hailey Bieber, formerly Hailey Baldwin. She's in a huge social media fight-ish.
What do you make
with
of
Selena,
her social
Selena
media
Gomez.
Fight,
she lost 700 followers in one day because she essentially was bullying Selena Gomez, and people are on
Selena
Gomez's
side. She lost how many followers?
700,000.
That's quite a few.
Okay, that's a lot.
Yes. What was she bullying her about?
So, it had to do... So, Selena Gomez formerly dated Justin Bieber. So, like, that's kind of the whole reason why there's a lot of bad blood in here.
100%.
And, like, Hailey Bieber formerly had, like, been friends with Selena back in the past. Anyway, there's a lot of backstory there, but essentially she was fat shaming her for how she looked in some photos and posting about it. And then it kind of turned in this whole like mean girl thing with her and the other Kardashians and the Jenners and things like that. So I know that no one cares about this whole interaction.
What are you talking about? Nobody cares. 700,000 people
more
left.
Please. I am 100% enraptured by this.
Wait, before you go any further, Taylor, your thoughts so far.
I want more. I wasn't kidding.
Yeah, I was waiting for Taylor to respond.
I was waiting too.
So anyway, the Jenners and the Kardashians and the Bieber camp Hailey Bieber camp have turned into kind of like the mean girls of this like social media age. And so everyone's kind of on the Selena Gomez side. It's Selena Gomez, it's Taylor Swift, it's like the Haim sisters, it's the people, and then people are like unfollowing Hailey Bieber on her Instagram, that famous people are unfollowing her. So it's kind of this whole thing where she's in a major PR crisis situation, and her husband, Justin Bieber, hasn't and said anything about it.
Okay.
So it seems, and again, Justin Bieber formerly dated Selena Gomez.
He's trying to distance himself.
But it's your wife.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, listen.
I mean, she's bad news.
I don't know if you guys have gone on Cosmopolitan recently, but there is a comprehensive timeline of all the recent Selena Gomez, Hailey Bieber drama that
I'm
currently going
through right now. Did you just say Cosmopolitan?
He has a subscription.
Cosmo magazine? Nobody calls it Cosmopolitan.
I definitely pronounce the whole thing.
Yeah, if you're a subscriber, you would know, Amanda. Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Don't you guys shame my guy Slee for liking Cosmo.
Listen, I am going through this timeline like no tomorrow, and I will keep you guys all posted on this drama going on.
If you can memorize all this, you will be so hip with all the teenage girls.
I'm on my way.
Isn't that what you want?
I am on my way.
You are multilingual. I am not, right? So this may not track quite the way that I want it to. when you were telling that story, it's like when I hear somebody speak Spanish. Like, I can grab words out of sentences. Like, oh, I know what that meant. Like, I know what that word. Like, you're the word, the sentence, you're the word playa. Okay, they're talking about the beach. Mm-hmm. I got, you know, you'll hear, like, you got a little bit. That little monologue that you had right there was total nonsense to me, other than I'd hear Taylor Swift. Oh, I know who that is. Oh,
Kardashian.
Kardashian.
Yeah.
I know who that is. The rest, I'm like, this is like hearing a foreign
language. We're team, guys, just so you know, we're team Selena Gomez. Okay. Everyone here, we're team Selena Gomez. I will not stand for any other aspect of it.
Slee, TripAdvisor has named the best U.S. beaches, and two of your San Diego beaches made the list.
Yeah, San Diego.
They made good choices, too. Coronado and La Jolla were number 8 and number 10.
Almost every time I go to San Diego, I stop by in Torrey Pines.
Yeah, great spot.
And
that's just south of La Jolla.
They have the state beach there, and they got a beautiful hike that you could take. By the way, right near the golf course.
Yeah.
Right? Take that hike, go all the way down. There you are on the beach. Those are two great selections.
Coronado is one of those spots.
Coronado, I don't go to. And I should, but I don't know the last time I've been to Coronado.
It's terrific. I'm there a couple times a year. It's just a great spot. Live Golf is now on an over-the-air channel. They're on the CW.
That's right.
Okay? Yep. They signed a deal with them heading into this season. They had their season opening event in Mexico this past weekend, and it drew a 0.2 overnight rating, which is less than World's Funniest Animals, which was on immediately after it.
First off, World's Funniest Animals is very popular. And I think if we're comparing it to World's Funniest Animals,
I don't think
that's the right barometer for them to go to.
The existential threat to the PGA Tour is not going to come from Live Golf if World's Funniest Animals
is outdrawing. Okay, wait, can't some of these golfers now play in the major?
The majors are not. Very quickly.
Yep.
The four majors, are none of them are administered by the PGA Tour.
Got it.
They're all administered by independent bodies.
There's so many things happening here. Am I actually on the air?
You are on.
Light here,
yeah,
but the button's
on.
Not lighting up, so I don't know.
No, you're on.
Myself.
You're on.
Okay. Yep. Hi.
Hi, Momo.
Hey.
Hi, Mace.
This is a great discussion. I don't even recognize this person who just walked into the room.
I got a lot of questions going on.
What's going on? Did you brush your hair? First of all,
no more hat. I'm done.
Looks like there's some product in your hair.
Yeah, there's some product.
Let's start with these.
There's
questions.
A real sweater. Did you go to Shannon Sharpe's closet?
No, but I happen to own this, and I was inspired by Shannon Sharpe.
I
thought I'd dig this out and put this sweater on.
I have questions about the sweater.
Wait a minute. Wait. Hold on. I got to do the visual here. I'm doing a little play by play.
Can you stand, Steve?
Steve Mason has showed up.
Yes, thank you.
And he is
real shoes too.
In many different
the camera right
like
there.
Real shoes. Real jeans, a real shirt, and a dashing cardigan.
I was just and a thought
and
process
all,
to the
all
color.
All of the same color family, but different textures, which is very in these days.
Yes.
Did Juan help you?
No, I did. This
is all you?
I did this by myself, yeah. You know, the weird thing is, I've got clothes. I do own clothes.
Mace,
I just don't wear them.
Had you
very
told
often.
Me that yesterday, I wouldn't have believed you.
Yeah, no, I do.
Travis, I mean, I don't even recognize.
I totally own clothes. Like, I can look good need to look
good.
Well,
you have your hair combed and styled.
Yes.
What product is that?
It's Suavecito. Do you know Suavecito?
I do.
A little bit of water?
Really good product.
No, what is it?
Suavecito.
It's like a gel
it's like a cream.
It's like a pomade kind of
exactly.
Like a salve almost.
Exactly.
I don't that use
word. That. Salve.
Is it salve or salve?
I use that.
It's salve, right?
Salve.
You get a
spelled salt.
You get something on your leg and you put a little salve on it.
Exactly. I call
but
it
why
salve
is there an
also?
L in there? It's a silent L.
Know. It's English. We got all
so like my 4-year old's doing phonics and he's like trying to ask me, how do you know if it's a C or a K? I go, I have no idea.
No, just listen to how people talk
like,
and go from there.
He's like, kick. Is that with a K or a C? I'm like, it's with a K, but I don't know why.
It's got both.
Mace, you look like you did NBA today.
You think so?
Yeah, you look like you went on TV today.
Yeah,
any particular reason?
First of
got
all,
an
just,
interview later.
No, I'm cleaning up my act. I'm cleaning up my act.
Good.
Okay,
I'm done with sweatpants. Now I'll still wear hoodies, but I'm not going to wear sweatpants.
What about Vuori's? Those aren't. I wear Vuori's and I feel very good about
Vuori's
myself wearing them.
Awesome. I could probably get away with the Vuori's.
Yeah,
those aren't really.
They're
that's
also
more
very
like
expensive.
Leisure wear. Yeah, they're
like,
very
I
expensive.
I feel like they cost enough that they don't count as sweatpants.
They're the Vuori, Lululemon, Bird Dog Lane,
that
all
world.
Those,
yeah,
they're wonderful.
Yeah. But here's the thing. I have cut.
I live in those.
I have cut 9 pounds.
Oh, that's why.
Since the first of January.
We're up to nine. Remember, it was 7 to 8. Now we're up to 9.
9 pounds.
Just because you changed your diet? Are you working out more?
You know what? We do not order anymore from Grubhub or Postmates or any of those services, which we're, by the way, also just wasting money. You just might as well take a $20 bill, set it on fire. Those fees are ridiculous.
Yeah, it's so stupid.
We quit that. We're saying, I'm getting a little more lean. I'm getting ready for the pickleball tournament.
There you go. Oh, I got questions about your pickleball kind of snafu that you created.
Yeah,
we'll do that next. Super Crosstalk right now. Woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo-woo! All right, so Mace, here's the story as I was told it.
Okay.
You tell me if this is accurate.
Got it. Go.
Al?
Yeah.
Jorge?
Mm-hmm.
Berg and Yates. We're going to go play pickleball tomorrow.
Tomorrow in Pasadena.
Right?
Tomorrow in Pasadena. Yep.
And everybody's on the same page, time, location, group. Everybody's ready to go. And then you asked Yates, hey, you want to play pickleball on Thursday? And Yates cut the three of them loose to just come
He's
and
gone.
Oh.
Yates gone. Yeah. Gone. See, just now, like that. Gone.
I did not realize Yates was part of the Thursday group, or I would not have asked. I knew there was some group going to play pickleball in Pasadena. But Yates lives on the west side, like me, so there's the Memorial Park in Santa Monica where they got a good court. And Calvin, who's helping to set up our tournament, is actually like a supervisor kind of guy there.
Okay.
So I'm like, well, Clinton's in the neighborhood.
You
so I see if Clinton's there, yeah.
So Yates is going.
Do you feel bad that you torpedoed it?
Do I feel bad? I do feel bad that I ruined your pickleball date.
Here's the thing. Here's what's going on now. So Yates is, I get it. He was saying the proximity. Like, why am I going to go to Pasadena when I can go? Mace, you guys are neighbors. So we get that part. The only issue is he's four.
So he's your fourth.
Right. Imagine if you're going to go play, if you put a group together and guys, we're going to go play 3-on-3 basketball.
Yeah.
And one guy says, I'm going to go play basketball somewhere else. You're like, well, what do we do now? We go 3-on-2?
Yeah.
Got to play knockout.
So that's the only issue there.
So you need to replace Clinton in your group in Pasadena.
Might have. AK is trying to come out.
Okay.
Here's what I think happened.
Yeah.
He just made a business decision. All right.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, Pasadena is too far. I know where Clinton lives. He lives on the west side, right? So he's just not going to drive that far. You live in Venice, right? Venice, Mace. Like, you're going to play over on your side of town.
Yes.
Yeah. And Clinton was like, why would I go play with those guys in Pasadena?
Because he'd already told him that he was going to.
Well, yeah, but
he made a commitment, but
I mean, that seems like
too far.
To be clear, I didn't know that he made that commitment.
Right,
I did not know that he was part of the group. I just thought, Clinton's in my neighborhood. Clinton, you want to play?
Why are you guys playing in Pasadena? Like, what's the reason?
Well, they all live over there.
So it's
Sliwa lives in Pasadena,
I live in Pasadena.
Jorge's in West Covina. That's not super far.
Right.
There's a park probably 15 minutes from here.
Okay, so you chose what was good for you.
Right.
And he chose what was good for him.
Yeah, technically,
based on geography.
It's all fine.
Right. Based on geography.
No, what time of day were you playing?
But hold on. That if I tell somebody I'm going to be somewhere, I don't just cut them loose if I get a better offer. That's not how that works, is it? Or am I looking by with...
Apparently
I know,
that
you wouldn't.
Is how it
you
works.
You would go. You would show up where...
We would. It's 2-on-2.
Yeah.
Now it's 2-on-1.
If I said to you that, I'm trying to think, if John, Michael, and I were playing pickleball in Orange County, where the three of us live, and Ramona said, hey, Slee, let's go play pickleball, but you'd already committed to our group.
I would tell Ramona, I'm already playing there. Do you want to come play with us?
Now we got five.
Nah.
She's not invited.
Yeah, no, you only need a foursome.
No, I think he made a choice. I think he made a... Why would I drive to Pasadena?
A location choice.
Yeah, it was a location.
Geography choice.
It's completely geography.
100%.
That's why I went. I don't think we've got anybody else on the west side that I can. Clinton's the only guy I know that lives on the west side.
Like, this honestly, I would be more likely to play in Pasadena because I live in the valley.
You live in the valley, right.
And I don't want to fight the afternoon
You don't
want
to come
traffic.
To Santa Monica and play.
No.
I understand the reasoning, like the geography, but it just...
Trav's more about the commitment.
Yeah,
Yates, the
commitment. Yates is just willingness
was
to
it
cut
a hard
three
commit,
collies
or was it
loose.
A soft commit?
It was, all four of us are playing. We're kind of on a little text chain
this
there.
This time
Here's
at this
the
place.
Address.
That's a hard
we're this.
Commit.
We're all good.
That's not...
How many say, back and forths were you like... How many back... Was this like a one...
No, not crazy.
One reply?
Yeah, it was kind of a one reply.
Okay.
Yeah, it wasn't anything crazy. I've never played, by the way.
Was there at any point if I can, I'd love to? Was there any hedge at all? Or was it, I'll be there?
No, I'll be there.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It was, I'll be there.
Yeah, Bergman...
I still think it's okay.
Bergman was so fired up today. Bergman was like...
Yeah, he wasn't happy.
I'm done with Clinton. I'm just done with him. I don't need Clinton.
So are you done?
You can have Clinton.
Are you done with me after I compared you to AD?
That was very Sedano of me. Yeah, so you're talking about AD. I'm driving in.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about AD, injured.
Not playing tonight.
Not playing tonight. And somehow, how the F did I get dragged into this? Why did I get dragged into this?
I feel like it was an apt comparison. High impact and frequently
unavailable. Well, can I give the backstory? The backstory was, I said that I'm surprised AD.
By the way, I also fall a lot like AD. And randomly grab a limb.
He falls, grabs his limbs, and misses games.
Exactly.
Tell me which part's inaccurate.
I told Trav, I said, I'm surprised that AD's not going tonight.
Yeah.
And Trav said, why would you be surprised?
I agree with Trav, by the way. I was listening to this whole thing. Yep. It's like, oh, wait a minute. Yep. AD's hurt and is not going to play? What?
And I was trying to explain to Trav. I'm like, Trav, listen. They just played last night. They keep talking about how this game is so important against the Thunder. I know that he had a moment, but it wasn't like in the post game where you're hearing Darvin Ham say he may not go.
I watched the post game. AD didn't talk about it at all.
It didn't sound like somebody that wasn't going to play. Wasn't even asked about it.
This brought me to the comparison, which is if I just was healthy and just didn't show up to work one day,
right,
it would be surprising. Right. Yeah. If you were here healthy one day and didn't come to work the next day because you were not feeling well, I don't think anybody would be surprised.
Yeah. I mean, look, my days. Oh, God, the boss is sitting right there, too. My days, for the most part, you said scheduled, right?
My days are almost always scheduled.
My days, occasionally I'll have an unscheduled day. Right. Occasionally I'll have an unscheduled
day. And occasionally AD falls, grabs his limbs, and doesn't play the next day.
Exactly.
Well, this is the difference, okay? Because I see this from the outside. You guys are here every day, but I can see the big picture here. You guys all have like 7 jobs, okay?
Well, Slee,
you're like, I don't know. I hear you in the morning. I hear you at night.
Yeah,
like,
it's a lot.
Lakers talk at night.
Yep. Do the middays.
You're taping stuff. You're here in the morning. I don't know.
I've got a podcast.
I'm pretty sure
YouTube.
You just sleep in the garage. Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. Anyway, Trav, you do like the Rams. Mm-hmm. You do all this stuff.
Locked on Rams.
Thank you.
Mace just does this show.
Yes.
And so therefore, when you guys all look at it, like I do 7 jobs too, right?
Yes.
Like I have the TV thing over there and I write stuff that's too long for everybody to read. You know, like I have to keep up with all the games and the whole, you know.
Yes.
Like, I can go on a whole tangent about the Philadelphia
Your
76ers.
Mother. Not necessary.
Tomorrow. Right. Like, doesn't apply here, right? So, like, if I need a day off, you guys are like, why do you need a day off? You're only here, like, once or twice a month, right?
Right.
Right? Like,
I getcha.
You see? So, like, when Mace needs a day off, you guys are like, why do you need a day
off? But it's
you
not that he does he job. Need one. It's just that he will frequently, he's on the schedule, and then you're not. You don't show up. It's not once a week.
Those are called mental health days, Trav.
Yeah, they are mental health days.
I'm not saying that they're unexcused.
Those are
right.
called,
just saying
call
that
Momo
they're
and see if she's
relatively
downtown.
Frequent.
Right, right.
Fair assessment?
There are times when I do need a mental health day.
I get it.
Yeah.
And there are days when AD has an injured foot.
So I'm going to go back to my example is if you were to say today, guys, we have a big show coming up tomorrow.
Yeah.
It's an important show.
I'm going to be here for the next 23 shows.
There's a lot going on for tomorrow.
Yes.
And then and there's no indication that you're not going to be there.
Right.
And that was kind of AD last night. I was surprised that he wasn't coming on.
Yeah.
So maybe
today.
He's taking a mental health day.
Could be taking a mental health
day. There are times you do and there are times you don't, right? Sometimes you just, it's not the right time to take a mental health day. Like, for example, if Ireland's not here, I try to make sure I'm
that
working all those days.
Yeah.
So like, for example, here. So I'm on vacation next week.
Yeah.
But the reason it's next week is because Ireland's here all week.
Right.
So
I think I'm doing 3 shows with him.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
All home games, all Laker home games. Yeah.
Yes. And by the way, I'm a strong proponent. I never bag on anybody who needs a mental health day.
This is not a do you deserve it or not. It is just
because I'm legit crazy.
I believe you. I'm just saying that you miss work.
Yeah, I do.
But he also has like lots of vacation and he decides, I'm going to try to use it all.
I understand.
I'm never going to leave one on the table, I'll tell you that much.
My point in the comparison is, and I feel the more we talk about this, the better I feel about it, is there are very important people to the success of organizations.
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Davis is very important to the success of the organization.
Mm-hmm.
Steve Mason is very important to the success of the organization. You both frequently don't show up to work.
Yeah.
That's my comparison.
I try to give some notice. I don't just suddenly disappear. There is always a conversation involved with management. And here's the truth. I give back money for vacation. Is that not true, Boss Amanda? I give back money for vacation days.
What are you talking about?
When my agent is negotiating, he's like, yeah, do that number, but he wants the X number of vacations.
Well, first of all, I would have never given you that many vacation days, but I wasn't the one who negotiated.
Yeah, you were not the one, right?
You.
Right.
So
you need to say that again, Momo.
Yeah, you're not AD, you're Kawhi.
No, no, I'm not Kawhi.
No, you're load managing.
Kawhi is a 2-time finals MVP. That's a good
load management.
You load manage.
You're like, for me to be at my best all year when it counts, all year long.
First Toronto.
Here for the playoffs.
What?
Yeah. It's Miami.
It's Kawhi.
What was you guys are having seven?
No, I was wondering that Kawhi is a. Did Kawhi win 2 titles or 3?
He's got two.
Two.
Spurs and
Toronto.
How many win with the Spurs?
That's what I'm trying to think.
Yeah, he did. He was finals MVP with the Spurs.
Yeah, 2014.
I thought that was the only one with San Antonio.
Yeah.
He might have been like a rookie, but earlier. I don't know. I got to remember that. I got to go back and look.
Why did you get so up in arms about the Kawhi comparison?
Because Kawhi, I think, is legit. Like, AD, there's clearly a. I mean, he did come down weird on that ankle, and I thought, and everybody like gasped when it happened. Mm-hmm. And his knee
one
did buckle.
One of the standard Anthony
AD
Davis
fall,
gasps.
Right? So I do understand that. Kawhi, I think, just sometimes is sitting out games because he doesn't want to play.
Fair. Okay.
Mace, I watched 2 episodes of Bear yesterday.
Oh, yeah? What'd you think?
Good.
The Bear. Yeah. The Bear.
Good, the Bear. Right?
The Bear. I
really, really good. It's
chaotic.
So here's the thing. It's chaotic.
And that's the whole point of the show.
So there are times where I'm like, I think I'm getting more stressed as the show is going on.
Yes.
Like, there's chaos. There's a lot of noise, that.
I gotta be honest.
But I was two episodes in, and I'm prepared to watch a third episode. So that's
I think
that's
I made
my...
it through 4 or 5. I was like a maternity leave show that I tried to watch.
It's a really good show.
And I was like, this just makes me not want to work in a restaurant.
It is.
Like, that was my takeaway.
It's chaotic.
It must be really hard to work in a restaurant like that. Mm-hmm. They've got multiple chefs going down at the same time. You got the guy
orders.
Trying to make donuts or cakes or whatever the hell he's doing back there in the back of the kitchen. And then episode 7, by the way, is crazy because it's all one shot. The entire thing is choreographed and it's
AK
all
was
one
saying that yesterday.
Single 30-minute shot. So I do recommend it. I forget the name of the actor, but he's winning awards and stuff.
Jeremy Allen White.
Jeremy Allen White. Yeah, boy,
IMDb back here.
She knows everything.
She's like,
she knows.
How about your guys' conversation yesterday off air?
She is
about
like Adam Bronze, right?
She is a walking
Ted Lasso.
IMDb.
Can I just say, she is the only person. We live in a very divided.
I like Ted Lasso.
We live in a very divided nation. Everybody agrees that Ted Lasso is great.
See, nope, I don't. I just got Apple TV and I tried to watch it and I don't
Are you not happy?
Fan.
Are you an unhappy person? Because that's a happy show.
No, this does not feel like an Amanda Brown show.
No. Was like, this is dumb.
You're a little jaded and cynical, I think. Jaded and cynical. I think Ted Lasso is all heart. So what's the dispute between M and Bergman? Bergman was yelling, you don't like Ted Lasso, and M was yelling...
Just don't think that it's the best thing ever made on all of television ever, which I think people try to argue. I think that it's a fine show, but it gets a little corny.
Was the argument that it's the best thing ever created, or was it, hey, this is a show where you're going to feel good watching it? The sales, I haven't seen it, so I don't have an opinion, but what I've heard is...
You would like Ted Lasso.
What I've heard is it's really hard not to watch it and feel good about...
Wait, you've not watched Ted Lasso?
I haven't seen
what
it,
is
no.
wrong? Do
I haven't
you have
seen
no
it
heart?
Either. I haven't,
have
I have
no
not seen
living,
it either.
Breathing heart?
Maybe, probably, are the answers to those two questions. I don't watch a ton of TV.
And you don't have Apple TV, I'm sure.
I honestly don't even know if I
but
do.
But here's
you
the thing, Emily. We watch.
What do you watch?
We watch.
I watch a lot of games.
Fernando Valenzuela documentaries.
Yeah, Valenzuela.
Fernando Mania documentaries.
Lakermentaries.
I am the guy. I love it. I will watch that Dodger channel.
I always wonder, who's watching this?
Travis Rogers.
It's Travis. Okay.
By the way, you know what? Just a random thought. So, sometimes I'll come home, I'll put on the game, and I realize it's not on Channel 59, which is my Time Warner. And I'm like, they're running something like totally random, right? Some old time thing where Ramona's being interviewed and stuff.
It's a Laker channel. On the Laker channel. Yeah.
And the games on ESPN or the games on TNT, I wonder who the hell is watching Spectrum during that game?
Galaxy fans.
Yeah,
there you go. hoping that there's behind the scenes. What's the name of the show?
Backstage Galaxy.
Yeah. You're looking for that. Super Cross.
Oh, by the way, I need the rest of the day. I need to take the rest of the day.
Let me see that foot.
Yeah.
Let me see how that ankle's swollen. Super Crosstalk, powered by In-N-Out Burger. It's what a hamburger is all about. We'll see you tomorrow.